extra, extra read the lost about Titans. The lost about Titans. The lost about Titans. The lost about extra, extra read all about it. Extra, extra read all about it. Extra, extra read all about it. Extra. So let's get to this documentary then. Johnny.
Documentary.
tell us about the documentary.
Interview.
Documentary, interview, whatever. Well, tell us about it then.
I'll fill you in. There was a show from the early 80s called Greatest Sports Legends, and it was a syndicated program that would run all over the country. Whoever bought it, it was syndicated. And showing, apparently, I guess ESPN Classic owns it now, and they put their logo over top of it. But I remember this show. I remember watching this one because they showed it on like Saturday afternoons around 4 o'clock on some local station, and the host was Tom Seaver.
And when did the show in the late 70s?
Late 70s, late 70s, early 80s. I mean, it ran for a while, at least, or in reruns even, who knows. But it was a syndicated show. It was never on a network.
Yeah, it's insane that Johnny was watching TV in the late 70s. Insane. Carry on.
And remembers.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't I? There wasn't a lot to do. I didn't live in New York City, man. I lived in a little tiny town. And they would interview great sports legends, and they did Bruno, and for wrestling. And you notice they don't make any distinction that there's other wrestling federations, or that he is Bruno Sammartino, the champion of wrestling. And trust me, there was no one like behind the scenes going, well, should we mention, no, nothing.
I was expecting Seaver to ask him about Harley Race or something.
Yeah, no. they never even said WWF.
No.
Never. They just said wrestling, and you heard time-traveling Vince's voice. You're right.
That was time-traveling Vince.
Yeah, Tom asked the tough question. Is it true that you licked the sweat off Harley Race's body when you went an hour?
Yeah. Well, I needed the salt, Tom. Because, a diet of snow and dandelions, needs something to pepper it up. And not pepper, but salt. But every last bit of footage had Vince commentating on it. But once again, they never said WWF.
No.
There was a Wolfman sighting when they started talking about like the crazy gimmicks that I never went in for that ever. But Tom Seaver, the legendary Tom Seaver, was the host of this show. It starts off, he's got Bruno in a Fujiwara armbar. He was like, I give. It's all fun and lighthearted. They're having a nice little romp. It's a slow seduction is what it is, because it starts with them romping around a little bit, and then they take a little walk, and they end up here and there, and they end up in a hot tub together, the dip. There's a beautiful love story going on. He says he ended Buddy Rogers' career.
Yeah,
we've heard the heart attack. We've heard all the other ones. I broke his back. I ended his career. Yeah, I would have loved to see Bruno on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the '60s. That would have been fucking badass. Or in the '70s, as part of the Steel Curtain.
Steel Curtain.
Yeah, he'd be the guy in the Coke commercial, not me, Joe Green.
Hey, Bruno! Bruh! The bank's good. it was the 60s, he would've befriended someone on the team who got leukemia and died. No, he would have died. He got like it would have been Bruno's song.
Bruno's song.
Brian's song. It would have been starring S.D. Jones.
James Caan.
James Caan.
James Caan.
As Bruno
Sammartino.
Exactly.
It all ties together.
Starring James Caan and
another part favorite, Billy D. Williams, but you now will have S.D. Jones.
No, he'd have to play Charlie Brown.
You know, Bruno Sammartino's in a hospital bed tonight, and I love Bruno Sammartino. Brian's song. I just watched it the other day and cried again. I love when
I have a quick football question, by the way.
Yes.
Because, you know, as you know, I've been watching NFL this season.
Yes.
Now, are they allowed to do suplexes? Because I swear somebody did a belly-to-belly suplex in a game I watched the other day. But I'm sure Earl Thomas did a belly-to-belly suplex.
Yeah, no, that'd be a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct.
I mean, no, if you're talking about grabbing a guy and just throwing him down, and it kind of looks like suplex, sure.
Yeah. I was picturing the vertical suplex.
No, the vertical.
Too.
No, like a kind of amateur, like it's kind of Steiner-style suplex, I guess, amateur row.
I was picturing a guy grabbing a guy and lifting him up, parading him around.
Delayed vertical suplex in the middle of the... on the 50-yard line.
50-yard belt.
Okay. No, I was just wondering, because I've seen a couple of very suplex-like moves, you know, and they're not called as penalties or anything. They just stand. So I guess they're just tackles.
I had a private audience with Pope Paul. I liked him, but he too many gimmicks. And then I love when Tom broaches his wrestling fake comment, and he's really like... You know, a lot of criticisms of wrestling, of the wrestling game.
Yes.
Is people thinking maybe they're predetermined. Bruno turns it on, and this is so great. Not that it's fake and predetermined, that guys throw dives. Like in an old boxing movie. Or in boxing. You know, some guys, you know, to get ahead. They'll like you agree to lose, but you know the top guys know that if you lose, you know you're a loser and you don't want to be a loser. So why would you throw a fight? And he went from is it fake to like a sleazy promoter like Vince McMahon Sr. with his stack of dimes, you know, comes into the room. No, the dressing room, and S.D. Jones is there. He's like, "Hey, you gotta go down at 3:43, you know, to seclude it tonight. You know, we'll make it worth your while." Then he's at the back of a cab, you know, with his brother, you know, Rod Steiger. You know, I could have been somebody.
I like how Johnny has now turned into Michael Winslow doing making the coin sound with his ears.
I'm doing Michael Winslow. that night in the garden. You should have looked out for me, Arnold. You know, it's Arnold Scullin.
You have to make all this. You have to make this scenario more realistic because I don't think SD is going to be laying down for the Baron.
No. Just so I could get the on the waterfront joke in there. Hey, let's take a dip. That was fucking fantastic. And he goes, what would have happened if you got in the ring with Muhammad Ali? So now, I would have kicked, you know, beat him right away. He goes, but, you know, one punch is always what I grabbed. I'm like, one punch from, you know, Bruno fucking lumbering over to fucking Ali. One punch, pop. I mean, he would have been down. Fucking count. But I love this. Bruno's wig is just amazing. There's the close up, you can see where the real hair ends and the wig starts, and while they're jogging and. I love this. I actually, during the wrestling boom of the mid-80s, when anything wrestling, if you owned it, you put out a videotape and it ended up in a bargain bin. I found this in a bargain bin. I saw this when it aired. I have to own this. I like bought it for like $9 and you know, had it forever and used to watch it all the time. Love this.
Pete, any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Johnny covered it in the convoluted way. Left in and out of the special into his own gimmick.
Merry Christmas!
Yeah. The eating snow and dandelion stood out to me. That was pretty funny. I really did like Seaver working the Fujiwara armbar onto Bruno and like any, because you could tell, I mean, a lot of jocks are bullies. And Tom, when he has it hooked on, is like, "What did you say, Bruno?" And Bruno's like, "I give up." Tom goes, "What, Bruno? I give up. I give up." That was pretty good. Bruno shooting on the gimmicks was interesting. But Bruno, when he's talking about the bribes, is so damn convincing. What he's saying is the truth.
I believe him. Wouldn't you believe him?
Yeah, that's what makes him a special performer. And the Bruno versus one would whoop Ali was also, just great. So it's just fun. And it was uploaded by our own J.N. Lister from Pro Wrestling Only. Don't mention that.
No,
John Lister.
Good for him.
No, it's right there on YouTube. So, it's hardly... I've done shows with John before. He's a good guy. Kelly, any thoughts on this one?
This is fun stuff. Part of your theory about Vince dubbing over the footage clearly was true in this, I'll admit. That was clearly 80s Vince dubbing 1960s footage of Bruno versus Gorilla Monsoon.
Some of the stuff, when you looked at it, though, none of this, a lot of that stuff isn't out there.
Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was very interested by the footage that they showed. Where's that from, this stuff? They were showing some pretty, they showed a few matches. I was like, I'd love to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think it was MSG, but did it have the four ropes? Did it have the four ropes?
I'm not sure, but I thought it was MSG.
It could have been Pittsburgh, too. It could have been various places. Nothing really stood out. Like, there wasn't something that made you think, it's obviously this place.
It's the footage that Rocky Raven sold to them in order for him to finance his efforts.
Definitely only three ropes, but it's that weird red ring, the red canvas ring.
Yeah. So I don't think it was MSG. I'm pretty sure it wasn't MSG's, but I'm not sure.
Atlantic City?
Why not? The Steel Pier. There was some other interesting
Zambo stuff. Mosque?
Yes, that's... I hope it's the Zambo
Mosque.
The famous match, the boar to make them snore.
MSG. It looks like MSG to me.
It does look like MSG,
Because it's got the famous aisle.
It could have been the old MSG.
I just always thought they used the four rope ring until like 1972. Because all the old pictures usually see of MSG.
No. In the late 60s or so, I mean, Madison Square Garden moved.
Yeah, but the ring was the same. Like if you look at the pictures of the ring from the early 60s, it's always got the four ropes. Anyway, I'm
assuming they moved the ring too.
They did.
I stink.
Bruno talked about a match with Haystacks Calhoun that made him a star because he picked up the 600-pound Haystacks. I wonder if that's true, if that was like sort of his star.
And then shits on his gimmick later on in the show.
They did producers showed a bunch of clips.
Right. I mean, Bruno did kind of tell a few tall tales in this, almost Hogan like, with ending Roger's career. Didn't he say that Ali, that they were gonna fight, or there was some sort of
he did kind of end Roger's career. kind of like in that he had his last match.
In a kayfabe sense. But it wasn't his last match. He did. I mean, Rogers did. Rogers actually wrestled again that very year.
And Bruno mentioned that, yeah, and Rogers. But Rogers did have a few matches after this.
In 1963. And then later in later years, too. Yeah, like Rogers did wrestle again in 1963. Yeah, after
and Bruno admitted that he did wrestle later.
Mm. Yeah, he did.
Rogers was legit injured or something, though, right?
Yeah.
Or ill.
Heart problems.
Heart problem, yeah.
That he had a heart attack in Ottawa, actually, was where it happened, apparently, backstage, just before that. What else did we have here? Oh, the hot tub scene was, that was quite hot. we do see during the montage of footage, Hansen body slamming Bruno on his head was the actual where Bruno broke his neck, which is neat because the match, there is the Bruno Hansen match available out there, but it's joined in progress after the body slam.
Wow.
So this is the only place where you can actually see the body slam where Bruno's
neck. And it was at the garden.
It was the garden, yeah. But for whatever reason, the only footage of that match out there is a joined in progress.
Yeah, I have the JUP. It's about, it's about 8 minutes.
After the body slam.
What's frustrating is that
it's out there.
Whoever put this together originally, to Tom Seaver, had access to all of this footage. Tom Seaver's got access to these matches.
Yeah. Tom Seaver could throw a wicked screwball and has access to...
Yeah, Parv calls him up. Hey, Tom, what do you want, English? You want an autograph? No, I was hoping you have some WWF old footage lounging around.
Hey, I'm keeping that for my retirement. I'm giving it to my kids.
Well, somebody, I mean, maybe it seems like they had the cooperation of Vince because.
Yeah, they got the footage.
They got the footage.
They had to clear that. I mean, it is syndication.
They got the footage. And
it's not syndication, I mean, he's not saying it's not Tom Seaver's public assets.
Well, no, I mean, control freak. Vince being the control freak.
It could have been actually a New York station's footage because often.
The news.
They had independent people filming it. No, it's true. If there is highlights of a non-televised garden show on YouTube that was filmed by like an independent channel. That's probably the footage.
Why would Vince go over and dub that as well then? If he wasn't
even. There's too many unanswered questions here, Barb.
Austin needs to be asking these questions. Austin needs to ask Vince all about the dubbing.
Yeah, here's the funny thing. This show, when it aired, was, like I said, early Saturday evening, like right before dinner time is when you'd find this. The exact same time that they'd also show syndicated In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy.
Right.
About Bigfoot and aliens and shit. And we need the crossover. You know, Leonard Nimoy, In Search Of. The footage from the greatest legends of sports.
Dude, the music creeps
me out to this day.
I miss those days. I miss those afternoons. Yeah.
That was part of wrestling. It was, you're a kid, you watch cartoons, and then you're waiting for wrestling, a kung fu movie or something, or maybe you go out and play.
Planet of the Apes.
Legendary Robin Hood was a big one.
And then you come in for the wrestling, and you watch all the wrestling shows, and then you had that weird late Saturday after where it was reruns. It was reruns of Star Trek. You had this weird syndicate shit like In Search Of and Greatest Sports Legends before
This Week in Baseball, like with another Chinese
guy. This Week in Baseball. Totally.
Yep, that was a total set.
So did Tom Seaver and Leonard Nimoy basically have like lockdown of this kind of block of TV? Because it sounds like they're on every show.
Well, they were the most memorable, but...
That's Incredible, I think, was another one.
No, That's Incredible was a network show on NBC.
You're right.
Yeah, because NBC had real people, which was a hit, and so ABC ripped them off. with that's incredible.
The quality of this footage is really good. I would love to know where it's from. I can't even make out the, because I'm looking at Bruno's hair and trying to figure out like trying to figure out when it was from. I reckon this is comeback stuff, Kelly. I think it's 75 plus.
What, the stuff with Gorilla? That's got to be the 60s, because Gorilla turned babyface.
Yeah. Turned babyface, yeah.
69, yeah. 70.
When could that match possibly be from, the Gorilla one? Because the quality of the footage is really good. It has to be there in the vaults, doesn't it? They're never going to release it, because nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. But it could have been, like I said, an independent channel that filmed this, because they would show the highlights on the news, a sports channel.
Hey, Vince, can you give us a tape? Here. You know, and then he forgot about it.
And you got to think, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's listed on the YouTube on when this originally aired, but it had to be after Tom Seaver retired.
No, it wasn't, I don't think.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
It was during the off season. He would have just filmed a bunch of episodes.
Yeah, it's like Johnny Bench and the Baseball Bunch. They would do that. Yeah. Right.
Seaver was still pitching for the, in the, like, 86, 87.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I had a question for you guys. Do you think Seaver could have made it as a worker, based on what you see here?
No, not really.
Maybe a jobber. Yeah, he didn't have a lot of charisma.
Okay, no. but if you want to talk about an athlete, Tom Seaver was a fucking athlete.
He could have tagged with Marcus Bagwell.
Yeah. It's just like a baseball player, especially in the pre-steroid age of baseball. You know, you look at Tom Seaver there and you're like, oh, that guy could throw 90 miles an hour? Yep. You know, he was a definite fucking athlete.
Yeah, he'd have to take a pay cut to go into wrestling, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I thought about football, but I'd have to take a pay cut.
And that's true. That
yeah,
was
well, that yeah, and Bruno would have been on the practice squad, probably.
Exactly.
But and it the is Steelers... The Steelers sucked ass in the 60s.
Yeah, they sucked bad in the 60s.
But so if you were a star in football in the 60s, I'd imagine you made more money.
Or on par with the biggest stars.
More than Bruno? Yeah. Bruno would have been getting a cut of the gate at MSG.
No, Bruno was making huge money, because if you think about it, I remember they always talked about in the St. Louis book, Flair Brody draw that sold out the Checker Dome, and they would have paid Flair I think they paid him $5,600, and they screwed him on the gate where they owed him more just on one match.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Bruno was making probably more than half the rest of the roster combined based on...
Oh, yeah.
Just based on the percentage of the gate that you get as a champ. And I mean, I don't know what happens later. I can't imagine Backlund was paid at the same rate as Bruno.
Yeah,
I
meant to pull it up. I could have pulled it up, but I'll pull it up sometime. But in Ivan's book, he goes into payoffs and stuff, and him headlining the Garden. I think he mentions how much he got paid in certain territories.
Dude, that sort of thing went right up. I mean, I don't know if now, but like Jim Ross talks about it, like during the Attitude Era stuff, even for house shows and stuff, it was the guys sitting there just deciding backstage who gets what payoff from gate.
Yeah, the NWA champ, I thought, was supposed to get 5% or 10% of the gate.
Yeah.
I think 10.
Right. Yeah. Of which a certain percentage went back to Sam Muchnick or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
And Toots, see?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any more thoughts on this, Kelly?
No, I think we covered it all.
Yeah, I want to make a stable. Marcus Bagwell, Tom Seaver, Eric Bischoff. What do you reckon?
Sure, why not? Make a thread of PWS.
You have one real athlete who's drawn money in there. So.
Is that Eric Bischoff?
No, that'd be Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver, right. Yeah. So, yes, a very Bruno Christmas. Anything you want to say to the listeners before we sign off here, Kelly?
I mean, it's great. Keep listening. We'll keep providing you with great shows. We've only just got started, I think. the sky's the limit for the Titans of Wrestling. Big year coming up in 2015.
Pete?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great year working with all you guys. We're ahead, you know, we have our Twitter with at Titans O Wrestling. We have the PWO-PTBN Facebook page. Like it. You can get us on iTunes. You can listen to us on links that we post throughout on different wrestling message boards, mainly pro wrestling only. We do other ones.
Talk about limiting yourself.
Yeah. I just found the on the Roku. If any of you guys have Rokus and you want to listen to us on your Roku, go to the like us on the PWO Place to Be Nation page. I provided a link on where you can add the channel, and you can come find us and listen to us on your Roku.
I have literally no idea what Pete's talking about.
I kind of do.
Well, Johnny does because he has a Roku.
Pete put up a link of these hidden channels on Roku where you can watch wrestling the other day, and I just joined all of them. It's awesome.
Yeah, I did a search, yeah, and put them out there hoping to find other ones. Somebody, Wahoo's Leg, I don't know if he listens, but he put another one out there, a local indie out of Chicago that is on the Roku. So, I mean, it's hopefully we'll get more people who know about other channels, and, you know, the more wrestling you can watch, the better it is.
Yep.
And I just want to say, you know,
you can listen on Stitcher too, whatever that is.
I
don't know what that is. I don't.
One of my coworkers, and we were at our office Christmas party yesterday, and we were talking about what you're up to, and I mentioned the show, and he looks at me and goes, "Is it on Stitcher?" And I went, "Is that the sewing channel? I have no idea what the fuck that is."
Yeah, you can get us on Grindr and Tinder as well.
Grindr, yeah, you can get us on Grindr.
Johnny, any message? Yeah, any Christmas message?
I want to say, of course, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody who listens. I want to thank you all for listening to our show. I want to thank all three of you guys for providing me with one of the things I look forward to the most is doing shows with you guys. That it's a blessing. I'm gonna cry now, but I really mean it, man. It's it's that time of year, and we're all getting emotional. I enjoy this so much. It means the world to me, and I hope you all have a wonderful holiday. And yeah, so keep listening to the show, fuckers.
Well, very good. Cheers. It's just like Christmas. People getting up and making speeches. Cheers.
Parr's bursting out of a door, you know. Here's how this show started. Yeah, listeners, before we went on the air, Parr was not sure that he wanted to participate in Christmas cheer. The ghosts of Titans, past, present, and future, visited him and convinced him that he should join in and we'd do this show. And right when we're going to get done, he's going to wake up out of his champagne stupor, burst open his sashes, and look at a little English child. And he goes, "Boy, what day is it?" And he goes, "December 13th. Oh, you're a wonderful lad. You know, here's some money. Go buy a goose. Deliver it to
here's
the
some kids. Ducats."
No, stomp in his stomach. Elbow drop. Oh. Stomps.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's some ducats, and then you trip him when you take it back and you do the head laugh.
leg drop his fucking turkey.
Are there no workhouses? he's gonna take Tiny Tim and heal him and make sure that
hits him with just his own
he can, just so he can elbow smash him later and do the heel turn.
Sand in the eyes. Okay. Yes. Well, My message is, let's move on. Let's move on.
Marley's ghost has a run-in and hits you with a chain.
Well, my one last thing. Listen out for this, listeners. Pete is slowly morphing into the Penguin out of Batman. Because every time he does that little laugh, it's like, whack.
Yeah, I have my. It's like my. It's not my real funny laugh. It's like, okay. I do that a lot at work when someone says something dumb. I'm like, okay.
or as we call it, the sorrow.
Okay. Well, truly, let's move on and join us again. For the next episode of Titans of Wrestling, whatever it may be. Do we have a plan, Kelly? Probably not.
There's a few options. We'll figure something out.
Till next time, have a good, very Bruno Christmas to you all.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La la la, la 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic. The cutest little donkey, you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be. Because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Extra, extra, read all about it. The Lost of the Titans. 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 The Lost of the Titans.